go with me to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's been nearly 6 years since we looked at this. I thought it was yesterday after I read it again. I remember needing this message back then, and I need it even more now. Title and subject, and this story is about hope for a madman. Hope for a madman. A man, a believer, who acts like a crazy fella. Now, I already saw some of you need this. Look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel 21. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. David was one of God's elect, one of God's children. No doubt about that, is there? And yet, out of fear of Saul, this man named Saul, he runs from him and ends up among some other enemies in Gath. He runs from one enemy into the midst of others. That's the wrong place to go, wasn't it? Wrong people to be with, and really the wrong thing to do is run. Proverbs 21, I believe it is, verse 25 says this: "The fear of man bringeth a snare." Now listen very carefully, okay? The fear of man bringeth a snare. Snare is a trap. Fear of man. If we fear man, we fear losing the favor of man. If we fear losing the friendships of man, we fear losing the honor and applause of man. If we fear persecution of man, if we fear the wrath of man, if we fear the reprisals and reproaches of man rather than fear God, it brings a snare, or that is, we'll be caught in this trap and can't get out, unable to get out. And we'll act badly, and we'll bring reproach on our God. This is what happens today. We'll bring reproach on our God, ourselves and our family and others. The fear of man bringeth a snare. If we fear anything or anyone more than God, you will fall into the trap of fearing everything. Did you hear that? That scripture finally opened up to my understanding after thinking about it for a few days. Fear of man bringeth a snare. If we fear anything or anyone, anything, disease, anything, more than God, we'll fall into the trap of fearing everything and everyone. And it's a hard trap to get out of. There's only one that can bring you out. Did you hear that? That's a little mini message there. David, turn with me to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. David is a writer. David was a writer and a musician. And he wrote this psalm, Psalm 56, when he came to Gath. When he came to this city called Gath. You'll see that under the title, when the Philistines took him in Gath. And he wrote this psalm when he came here. Perhaps he began to feel guilty about running from Saul, about playing the coward. It wasn't too long before that he stood before Goliath, of whom Saul was afraid. And yet David, in the strength of the Lord. Remember why was David courageous before? He said, I come in the name of God. Well, perhaps he begins to feel guilty about running from Saul, playing the coward, and he writes this psalm. He gets to Gath, he gets to this city, and he writes this psalm. Look at verses 1 through 4. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He's thinking about Saul, I'm sure. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. They be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, verse 4, I will praise his word. You see where his trust, his hope, his defense, his strength, his offense. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. From now on, I'm not going to be afraid. Well, that's a good resolve, David. But here's what you should have said. The Lord willing, I will not fear. Are you with me here? He wrote this when he got there. Look at verse 11. He said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. If you look at all of this as Christ himself speaking, yes, he did not fear. No fear whatsoever. I wish, as he is, so would I be right now, don't you? But this is David. David did write this, and David is saying, in the strength of the flesh, he's saying, I will not fear. Well, he did. It was a good resolve, wasn't it? Peter made a good resolve, didn't he? Lord, everybody else will leave you. I won't. Peter. And he meant well. But it didn't turn out well. It did turn out well. But he had to be brought way down, didn't he, to see himself. Well, yeah, good resolve. But now remember, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Remember that verse. David was running from Saul to Gath. And he wrote this psalm, but then he begins to think about where he is, who he's with. These people know me. Back there in our text. So go back to 1 Samuel 21. He begins to fear the Philistines because they find him out. Verse 11. Not only, folks, not only will your sin find you out, your unbelief, but if you're a true child of God, that'll find you out too. People will know it. It'll leak out on you. It will. They'll know what you believe, who you believe. And you can prepare to be hated for it. Become the enemy, they think. Well, the servants of Achish, verse 11, said unto him, King of Gath. Do you know that's David there? The king of the land? Future king? The one that they sang about? In advances, saying Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000. David laid this up. David heard them talking about him. He overheard them. That's David down there. He's right in the middle of them. David laid up these words in his heart, and it says he was sore afraid. Now, he was afraid of Saul, and now he's more afraid of Achish than Saul. You see, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now he's more afraid than he was in the beginning. And Deborah, he gets in a mess. He acts like a blooming idiot. That's the story here. Oh, Isaiah. And listen, I know a little bit about this. The prophets of old were one man basically against many. Their names were who people knew, and they were the ones that people took out their enmity against. And Isaiah, Jeremiah was a young man. He didn't want to go out there. Moses didn't want to go out there. He didn't want to face everybody. Isaiah, and the Lord caught old Isaiah. Elijah, even Elijah, you know, though he was bold at one time, yet a woman, Jezebel, had him running for his life. He said, I can't take it anymore. But old Isaiah, the Lord caught Isaiah in time, in the nick of time, and said, Isaiah, who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man, a worm that shall die? You fear me. Don't be afraid of anybody. So, don't be afraid of anything. Fear the Lord. Trust the Lord. Don't be afraid of the dark, the terror by at night. Don't be afraid of the pestilence. Don't be afraid of the plague. If God's going to send something to get you, it's going to get you in the cabin. It's going to get you. You're not going to see it coming. There's nothing you can do about it. Right? Microscopic germ will kill you. Well, then what do we need to do? Live in a vacuum. I wound. I kill. Don't be afraid of things. Fear me. The fear of man and things brings a snare. You'll be listening to everybody and everything, and you'll be afraid of anybody and everything. Don't do that. Trust in the Lord. You say that? Do it. Commit your family, your children, yourself, your soul, everything unto the Lord and rest. The Lord kept reminding His disciples, why are you so little faith? Didn't He? The Lord kept proving Himself and proving Himself and proving Himself and proving Himself and supplying and supplying and supplying and providing and protecting and providing and protecting. What'd they do? And like any parent would do, you know, good father, don't you trust me? What have I done to this point to cause you not to trust me? I've done everything to cause you to trust me. And know this, whatever befalls you, the Lord sent it. And He said, who cannot lie, it's good, Barbara, it's good. He can't lie. And if it comes your way, He sent it, and it will be good. And you'll end up in the end thanking Him for it. So don't murmur and complain in the meantime. Don't whine. And you remind me of that later, okay? Fear of man brings a snare. That's a message in itself, isn't it? David says, I will not fear. Well, he did. He should have run to God, shouldn't he? Running from Saul and running to Gath. Why? He should have run to the Lord. Or just run to his closet or something. Shouldn't have been running from Saul, period. And he ran to Gath. Boy, we'll try to find refuge in strange places, strange bedfellows, strange company, woman, people. And look at this. This is unbelievable. David was sore afraid. In verse 13, he changed his behavior before them. That is, these ungodly people. You see, David is a believer. David is a godly man. David is a man after God's own heart. He is a believer. He's a sane man. He's a man in his right mind. He has the mind of Christ. Christ is in him. But his normal behavior was a man of God. But he changed his behavior. And verse 12 says, he feigned himself mad. That is crazy in their hand. Scratched on the doors of the gate, spit fell down upon his beard. Can you believe this is happening? Yeah, I can too. The honest people in here said yes. Because we've all done it. And we'll do it again. Act like a blooming idiot. Act like we don't even know the Lord. Act like we don't have good sense. Act like a reprobate. Act like... Now, here's the difference. David was not a reprobate. He's a child of God. His normal behavior was believing and trusting and upright and righteous and so forth. But now he acts like an idiot, a crazy man. Now, there are people who are crazy, who are reprobate, who are blooming idiots and madmen, and they sometimes act like sane people. And that throws us off. We think, well, maybe he, like Saul, you know. Saul all of a sudden started prophesying. Well, maybe he's not crazy after all. Yeah, he is. He's just, the Lord just restrained him for a little while. See, here's the difference. You see? David's a new person. But he begins to act like a madman. You understand that, don't you, Cheryl? He changed his behavior. And this is unbelievable. Almost. But no, it's not. David's a man. It shouldn't surprise us if any man does anything. It shouldn't. It should greatly disappoint us and grieve us and make us fear, because we're men and women. But it shouldn't surprise us. Unbelievable? No. Unbecoming? Yes. Unacceptable behavior? Yes, that's right. It's unacceptable. Inexcusable? Yes. It's inexcusable. We can explain why he did that. He's a man. But excuse it? No. God doesn't excuse him. God doesn't excuse him. Why did this happen? Why is this recorded? Aren't you glad it did? Well, here's a few things why this happened. Scripture says, all things, whatsoever things are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture. Patience means wait. Just wait. You think this is bad, wait. If you think this and that, wait. Just wait to the end. Wait on the Lord. Whatsoever things are written for our patience and comfort, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. See, this is written for our hope. This is written for the hope of every believer who acts like a madman every now and then. And this is also to show us that every man at his best state is altogether vanity. David was the best. He's the best man around right now. He's the best man on earth at this time, sir. He's the best man there is. He's the best there is. There's nobody like him in all of Israel. David. Well, look at him now. There's one man who ever lived. This is the reason we're going to see in a minute. Don't boast of yourself. Don't boast of any man. Don't boast of anything. There's one person. Let him boast in the Lord. There's one man who ever walked this planet. One man who ever walked this planet that God said from heaven, "Now I'm well pleased with this man." Even his enemies said, "There's a man." Don't look up to, young people, don't look up to these stars. Oh, they're falling stars. They're all going to come like Lucifer, shooting to the ground. Lord's going to reveal every one of those blooming idiots for what they are. Don't look up to these athletes. They're the scum of the earth. Don't look up to anybody or anything. Don't do it. Don't fall into that. Let me speak real calmly. You know, loud voice, a still small voice. Don't look up to any person but Jesus Christ. Don't try to be like any person but Jesus Christ. Every man, the strongest of men, are helpless. Helpless. And if we begin to trust a man or whoever, whatever, the Lord is going to, and if we're one of his, the Lord's going to show us that. He's going to do it. He's going to knock out. He's going to bring this person, this idol down, this Dagon down. And our, this is also to show us that our strongest resolves, no matter how good they may seem, promise keeper. Oh, you know, that sounds okay. That sounds real pious and all that, but a bunch of broken cisterns trying to fill each other up. That's what that is. Go to the fountain. Go to the source. You don't need to go to a promise keeper's meeting. Go to him who did keep all the promises, in whom are all the promises of God are yea and amen and sure and certain, who cannot break one of them. Go to him. Like David should have. The strongest resolves without the Lord's grace and power are just that. They're just words. Empty words. Idle words. And here's the reason why this happened. In order for us to have Psalm 34. Now go there. Psalm 34. This happened in order for David to write Psalm 34. And for you and I to read it. And take great hope and peace and comfort from it. That's why this happened. See, David wrote Psalm 56, and when he first got there, and then he acts like a madman. He just goes crazy. And, oh, he makes a fool out of his God. That's what happened. When, you know that? When we act like an idiot, we bring reproach upon our God. We make a fool out of the God we say is keeping us and all that, don't we? Huh? And we make a fool out of ourselves, our families, the church, everybody. And as I said before, this is not written to excuse us, but to comfort us. And only a reprobate man will use this as an excuse to justify his sins or his behavior. Only a reprobate evil person would use something like this to excuse their behavior. Say, well, David did it. Not. No. And I'll give you an illustration of that. There was a young man years ago who had a wife and three darling children, just beautiful, blonde-headed children, oldest of which was only about 9 years old, a preacher, a sovereign grace preacher. I knew him well. He's in my home. He and his whole family in my home. Heard him preach many times. He's older than me. I was a friend of all of our brethren, and I thought he was a fine fella and all that. Well, he fell in love with some redheaded girl and left his wife and his children. Just left them. Just left them. Didn't give them a thought. I know his wife. I knew her well. I knew those children. They were shattered, as you can imagine. Shattered! Those children will never recover. Never. Never be the same. Well, he left them. And that blooming idiot, that reprobate son of Belial, said to one of our brethren who warned him at the time, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He said, well, I'll just get in line with David. He got in line with Cain's, who he got in line with. He got in line with Esau's, who he got in line with. He got in line with Judas, who he got in line with. Not David. David's heart was pricked by God. David repented. David turned. David, the Lord broke his heart over it. Not the consequences, the sin in him that made him do it. He wrote Psalm 51, you know. Oh, Lord. Keep me from excusing myself. And now, after all this was over, after David plays this madman, after he left Gath, the Lord, now the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Did he have to act like this for the Lord to save him? Of course not. Of course not. This was for our sake. This was for David's sake, to bring him way down. Pretty soon David's going to be at the highest pinnacle that man can go, on the throne of Israel. Before you go high, boy, you got to be brought way low. Way low. You know, anybody's going to be at the right hand of the majesty on high and be enthroned with Christ, going to be seated with Him in the heavenlies, you got to start real low. You got to know that you're a blooming idiot. And if the Lord doesn't have mercy on you, that's where it starts. So David, going to start this ascension to the throne real low. Do you think he was ashamed of this? Are you? You're ashamed to read that about David. We've done worse than this, much worse. I have. And after all this is over, David headed home. He's headed... we believe that he headed toward Bethlehem to where his parents were. Go back home. He's still a young man here. Ed, he's still in his early 20s by now. He heads home. That's where he's headed, because he ends up in a place called Shechem, and he asks them, would you take my mom and dad, you know, because they're out to get me, and I want them to be safe. And it was right near Bethlehem. Well, he heads home, and on the way home is where he stops in that cave. Absalom. But before he gets there, he sits down somewhere on a rock, maybe, and writes Psalm 34. He's out of Gath, out of harm's way. The Lord has been merciful to him. Come on now, with me. Come on. All you mad men out there, come on. Stay with me. The Lord's had mercy on him. The Lord spared him. And he's sitting on a rock. He's reflecting on his foolishness, his craziness, his sin, his reproach on God, and his fear, that needless fear. And he sits down and writes this blessed psalm. Psalm 34, and he begins by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear thereof and be glad. My soul will boast. David, before this, could have said, I killed Goliath. I did this. I did that. Now what's he got to boast in? There's no room for boasting now, is there? David is an absolute idiot. David is a sinner. David is as low as he can go. David is absolutely and utterly ashamed of himself. How could I be a believer and act like that? How could I have done that? How could I have brought reproach? Why didn't I believe the Lord? Why? He's down as low as he could go. You call yourself a king? Ashamed of himself. Why did I allow myself to act like that, do that? How? The Lord, in mercy and grace, speaks to his heart, because you're a sinner. That all men may know themselves to be but men. That's why. No one for boasting. All your strength, health, hope, salvation, mercy, grace, everything. It's in me. You don't run to this king, that king. You don't trust in horses. You don't trust in Egypt. You don't trust in David. You trusted me before. You're getting a little older. You're going to trust me now. And in your old days, your hoary head, you're going to trust me then more than ever before. I am your wrote it as a shepherd, a young boy, and all your strength and zeal and all that the Lord is your shepherd. Well, now I'm still your shepherd. And if you veer away from that for one moment, I'm going to let you fall, greatly fall. David, salvation's of the Lord. David, it's of the Lord's mercies that you're not concerned. David, you're a son of Jacob. You bear the title of king I gave you, but David, you're just a son of Jacob. And your hope, your strength, your salvation, all your comfort is in me. Don't trust in anything, anybody, but me. So David, now he knows. I better run to the Lord. My soul, he says, shall boast in the Lord. And you know the subtitle of this message. Like a fool. Acts crazy, acts like the world, so forth. And the subtitle, Dan, is "The Humble Shall Hear and They'll Be Glad." Everyone in here, God's people, that is, who have been brokenhearted and guilty and ashamed sinners, that's what humble means. They're going to hear this story. They're going to hear this story and they'll be glad. Aren't you glad God wrote this story? Aren't you glad to be hearing this morning? Huh? They're going to hear of this future king, David, this great man, taking a terrible fall. And if he'll fall, where does that leave me? You know, we say, well, if he'll fall, isn't there no hope for me? Oh, no. Oh, hope. This is the whole point, Brenda. He said, if he falls, what's his hope? What's his hope? Then there's hope for me. My hope. What's his hope? The mercy, the grace, the goodness, the covenant-keeping God. A God who promised and cannot lie, cannot fail. God who holds him up, holds me up. And they're going to hear this, and they're going to be glad. They're going to be glad. Aren't you glad God wrote this? Aren't you glad God exposed the sins of all these people, huh? Or else you'd think, Jeanette, you'd think, I'm not like Abraham. I'll never be like Abraham. I wish I had the faith of Abraham. No, God wrote that story of Abraham scared to death. Twice! Aren't you glad? The humble here be glad. I'm also glad God wrote that. Aren't you? Huh? Aren't you glad God allowed all this to happen to show us that we're all saved the same way? We're all saved the same way. How? Grace. Oh, Zerubbabel's going to lay the top stone. This is not just doctrine. This is salvation. Zerubbabel, who is Christ Himself, going to lay after the whole building and every stone's in it, and all the children are there. We're all standing there, just overjoyed. Can't believe I'm here. And He's going to say, "I told you, it's by grace." Somebody say amen to that. Zerubbabel, Jesus Christ, except He build the house, I'm laboring in vain this morning. You're in vain here. And He says, I build it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm the sure foundation. And He's going to lay that top stone. And we're all going to be there with shouts of grace. Grace unto you. I said it was by grace. I didn't know what I was talking about. I said I believed grace. I really didn't believe grace. Now I know that the Lord saveth. That salvation is of the Lord. Now I know with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength that I was saved by the sovereign grace of God that's in Him, Jesus Christ. I'm going to sing forever now. Top of my lungs, I never sung it before because I didn't have a clue. I'm going to sing it from the depths of my heart, out of the abundance of my heart. I'm going to sing the loudest. All saved the same way. Same way. From a king to a beggar. Same way. From Abraham to Mary Magdalene. By grace. The same Lord holds up Abraham, holds up Mary. Is this the best news you've ever heard? Huh? Not if you're self-righteous. Not if you, you know, not if you've got some strength still left in you. He saveth such as be without strength. He saveth the poor and needy. He saveth the helpless. He saveth the hopeless. Those that are hopeless have the most sure hope, yea, a good hope for brother. Is all your hope in Christ? Not in what you know? You hear me? You hear me? I know what I believe. That's not what Paul said. Did he? He said, I know whom. And by his knowledge, he'll justify me. So he says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, would you? Let us exalt his name together. I'm your spokesman up here. And some of you obviously are enjoying this. So, I'm shouting, you want to, I can, so I am. Right? I can sing. I kind of think right now, and sometimes you're glad I do this because you want to. Don't you? Wesley, you tell me that all the time. Don't apologize for hollering because that's what you want to do, don't you? People come and hear it, and you want them to hear it. Get on the radio. You want me to tell it like it is, don't you? I'm your spokesman. I'm going to do it. Time is short. But time is short. Don't mealy mouth around and call a bunch of hell-bound sinners and try to appease them and make, like Barnard said, make them happy on the road to hell. Don't. I'm not going to do it. Time has come to wield the sword. That's what you want me to do. Tell them, preacher, that's what I heard. I never heard a man growing up that didn't holler at me. Never! They all did. Why? Because I'm so thick-headed. That's why. God said that. Lift up your voice. Did you ever holler at your children? Did you ever raise your voice? Huh? You ain't much of a parent. Either they're a perfect child or you ain't much of a parent. Huh? And they think, what you hollering at me for? Well, if you'd listen, I wouldn't have to. Huh? Listen, and I preach to people all the time, been hearing this for years, and they're not hearing it. My dad, my pastor said, that's the problem with so many people. They're not listening. They have ears to hear. Our Lord said this time and again, having ears to hear. They're not hearing it. They're not hearing it. If they had, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Wouldn't be acting like they're acting. David, if he'd heard the Lord, really, he wouldn't have acted like an idiot. He wouldn't have done this. Aren't you glad that God wrote this? He says, let us magnify the Lord together, exalt his name together. I can sing with David of the mercy of the Lord. Can you? Oh. I can sing with Jacob of old, of my unchangeable Lord. My hope is in my God that doesn't change. Robin, I change. You know, I'll be going along just smooth, and then I'll turn into a madman. What's my hope? That he changes now. He's slow to anger, slow to wrath. That's your hope. I can sing with Peter, who's up one day and down the next. Peter, who's strong one day and just a cussing sailor the next. I can sing and say with Peter, talk about the faithfulness of my Lord. Peter started out, at 1 Peter 1, he starts it out. Paul elects, beloved of God, elect of God, and he starts out by saying, we're kept by the power of God. Then, he wouldn't have known that, Charles, if he hadn't denied the Lord and fell like he did. He wouldn't have known that. That wouldn't have meant anything to him. And so he writes to all, and I can sing with Peter, that I am kept. I have been, am now, and will always be kept by the power of God. If I'm kept, God's going to have to keep me. And David said in verse 4, I sought the Lord, He heard me, delivered me. Who's this talking now? This is a madman talking. This is an old sinner talking. This is a shame fella. Not the king talking here, Dan. This is a poor excuse for a man. He said in verse 6, this poor man, that's what he's saying, this poor excuse for a man cried. The Lord heard. I was going to have you turn to Psalm 107 and read all those again. Kelly says, okay, but you know those verses, don't you? You know in my heart, how many times do you turn there? Do you ever get tired of hearing them? Huh? I'll tell you who gets tired of hearing them. Is the person that doesn't. Scripture says, because they have no changes, they don't fear the Lord. That's what the Scripture says. But a man who has some madman, like the children of Israel, they get down, and then they cry, and he hears them. Four times, they keep bringing it up. They up and down, they cry, he hears them, saves them, delivers them. Everything's fine now. No, they're still sinners. They get down. And the Lord brings them down, and they bring upon themselves all the trouble. If they bring it on themselves, all this trouble, but and they cry, and he hears them, delivers them. Again? Yes, again. Again, and again, and again, and again, and again. That's his name. And David says, the Lord heard me, and the humble shall hear thereof, and be glad. All sinners will hear thereof, and be glad. And it says they, too. They, verse 5, they look to him. They look to him, every one of them. And we're lightened, and our faces were not ashamed. Every one of them, every poor, broken down sinner that's ever looked to the Lord for mercy and grace has found it, has gone away. Not ashamed. Every person who goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, totally ashamed of themselves, will come away. What kind of Lord he is. Like the woman caught in the act. And the Lord catches us in the act every day. And, she was just ashamed before God and men. But her kind Savior lifted her up. My God. She went home happy. She went home joyful. She went home at peace. I'll give you a good illustration of that. Young lady, and this has happened countless times. Young lady, a man's dear daughter, found herself with child out of wedlock. No husband. Incidentally, do you know that today 40% of children are born out of wedlock in the United States? That's incredible. This thing's gone. It's gone. It's gone. But God's merciful. Still, He has a remnant. But anyway, this young lady, as so many have, found herself with child. I believe this young girl was a believer. Can that happen to a believer? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will it bring terrible consequences? Absolutely. For the rest of her life, she'll be experiencing some of the bad fallout from that. But God's merciful. There are several children in our Lord's line out of wedlock. He's numbered with the transgressors. His family. Nancy, Tamar, Rahab, a bunch of harlots in his family. his family tree. You wouldn't show that in yours, would you? He did. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Anyway, this young lady tried to cover it up, but it doesn't work. It won't work. And she finally just had to... She went to her daddy, her father, who knoweth her frame. How? Because he was flesh and blood, a young person. And she cried, crawled up in her daddy's lap, so ashamed, brought reproach on what I believe, brought reproach on my family, myself. Oh, Daddy, will you ever forgive me? He already had before she even asked him. You need a God like that? Huh? Who's ready to pardon? Who's more ready to receive than we are to ask him? Huh? That's our God. Because a father pitieth his children. Now, if you're one of these, I've never done that, never will do that. You won't get it. You're going to be cast into outer darkness. But every sinner, none of those, did you read that with me? None of those that trust in him. Who? Well, look at her. She's bad as it comes. None of them that trust him. Chief of sinner? Yeah. Paul said, look at me. I came to him. I flowed to him. All those that flow to him go away. That young girl went away. Everything's going to be all right. And Dad. Dad will take care of it. He still is. And that's a good illustration of our God. I got a better one. You got time? Got a better one. Old Peter. Biblical one. Peter. He's ashamed to be called a disciple. Ashamed to be called an apostle. Ashamed to be called a believer. Had no hope. He had no assurance. He had no anything. He's as low as he could get ever in his life. He'll never be any lower than that. He'd become just like those people sitting around the fire. He cussed. He denied the Lord. He thought to himself, I am not a believer. There's no way I could be one of the Lord's disciples. No way. Well, buddy, one day, and he left. He quit. He went fishing. And one day, he looked. Johnny looked, and lo and behold, there was his Lord on yonder shore. And he couldn't get to him fast enough. He was the first one in the water. The first one to the Lord. What did he hear from the Lord? Well, he went away lightened. His burden was lifted. He went away vitally joined again to the Bible. Trusting in the Lord. It's all his trust. All his hope. You couldn't hear a better, more... comforting, vital message. Young and old, male and female. Couldn't hear about it. None of them that trust in the Lord shall be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed of yourself all your days. You're going to do things you wish you hadn't. You shouldn't. I warn you, like John said, little children, don't sin. Don't do it. Don't do it. But if any, when you do, you got an advocate. An advocate. Is that good news? All right. Gabriel David, or you got a good name? David. Come lead us in a hymn.
Let's sing hymn number 10, Stand Together. We'll sing the first, third, and fifth verses. Hymn number 10.